Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for, as I've said already, for this season. Thank you, Lord God, for all your benefits. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing us tremendously. We are a blessed people, Lord. Lord, just take these simple words today and speak them into each heart. Give us nuggets of truth, Lord. Use this time to benefit us, Lord. Use this time to change us. Lord, your word says that you are making us more Christ-like. Jesus, make us more Christ-like. Hallelujah. And we thank you for that. Use me as your vessel. Holy Spirit, pour out. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 9 more days. Are you all ready? Getting there. You about run out of time. 9 more days. I'm told that there are 3 phrases that sum up Christmas. First one is peace on earth. The second one is goodwill to men. And the third one is batteries not included. Yeah. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to you today about the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. We know that's Jesus. That's his title, and I'm going to share about that in just a minute. I want to tell you a little story here to begin. There once was a king who offered a prize to the artist who would paint the best picture of peace. Many artists tried. The king looked at all the pictures, but there were only 2 he really liked, so he had to choose between them. One picture was of a calm lake. The lake was a perfect mirror with peaceful towering mountains all around it. Overhead was a blue sky with fluffy white clouds. All who saw the picture thought it was the perfect picture of peace. The other picture had mountains too, but these were rugged and bare. Above was an angry sky from which rain fell and lightning played. Down the side of the mountain tumbled a foaming waterfall. This painting didn't look peaceful at all. But when the king surveyed it, he saw behind the waterfall a tiny bush growing out of a crack in a rock. In the bush, a mother bird had built her nest. There in the midst of the rush of angry water, sat the mother bird on her nest in perfect peace. Which picture do you think won the prize? The king chose the second picture. Do you know why? Because, explained the king, peace does not mean to be in a place where there's no noise, trouble, or hard work. Peace means to be in the midst of all those things and still be calm in your heart. Amen. Amen. That's the real meaning of peace. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 8, and then we're going to Isaiah when we're through with this. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. Holler when you're there. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. In verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Amen. Most everyone searches for peace. A while back, there was an article in a newspaper asking the question, what is your wish for Christmas? 4 out of 5 people responded by saying that what they wished for most was peace. And yet, in all the years of recorded history, the world has only known 286 years of peace, which means 8% of the recorded history. During that time frame, over 8,000 treaties have been made and broken. And yet, throughout the centuries, men and women have tried and tried to find a way to secure peace. As civilizations expanded, so did peacekeeping efforts. International treaties were formed and alliances forged, but still no peace. Within recent generations, the UN, NATO, and the European Union have endeavored to align nations for the purpose of peace, but without success. Even within today's culture, many have turned to yoga, meditation, and medication, meaning drugs and alcohol, to bring a temporary inner peace. But no matter what the endeavor, still no peace. Peace has 2 distinctive definitions. Number 1 is freedom from war, civil strife, and public disturbance. Number 2 is an undisturbed state of mind, rest from worry and fear, serenity. It's almost as if Webster wrote down the world's definition of peace and then followed it up with the God's definition of peace. Amen? As for the world's definition, we must realize that the bad news is never going to get better. Never. World peace is not attainable. Wars will never cease. Battles will never end. People will never stop killing each other. Earthquakes, famines, natural disasters will always be with us. And there isn't a cemetery yet that's closed their gate to say no more. There will never be an end to the troubles and trials of life. Let me give you a true story. A retired couple who wanted to get away from the threat of more wars undertook a study of all the inhabited places on the globe to determine where in the world would be the best place to be least affected by a war. After studying, traveling, surveying, They found the perfect place and moved to the Falkland Islands. Just a few months later, y'all know, war broke out between Argentina and Britain. And their new peaceful home became a battlefield. No matter what your social, political, religious, or ethnic background is, you will encounter various troubles in this life. You will face problems financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. If you're looking for a life that's void of such things, think again. It just won't happen. Now, I am most assured that every one of us here today has a problem, is a problem, or lives with a problem. Yet in spite of all the worldly chaos, I have some good news for us. There is peace through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. This peace is not predicated on what's going on around us. It is in knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. For the Christian, even in the midst of struggle and strife, there can still be a peace that passes all understanding. John chapter 16 and verse 33 says this, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Isaiah had prophesied several times about the coming of the Messiah. 1,700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Isaiah spoke of his birth. It is my understanding that most birth announcements come after the birth of the child, but Isaiah gave us a birth announcement centuries before that took place. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it's recorded this way, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Of course, the fulfillment of this prophecy came to pass when Mary conceived and gave birth to Jesus. Now, I just can't imagine how astonished Mary must have been when the angel announced to her that she'd been chosen to be the mother of the Son of God. Just overwhelms me. Mary was a virgin, and yet the life that was conceived in her was not of man, but of the Holy Spirit. A supernatural pregnancy, a supernatural birth, a supernatural baby. Amen? It was Isaiah that ascribed some amazing names for our Savior. And when Isaiah prophesied, the all-encompassing name of Jesus had not yet been revealed. However, the prophet Isaiah gave us a clear glimpse as to the kind of child that would be born to save the world. He said in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, I want us to consider these descriptive names for just a minute. The first one is Wonderful. I don't think there's any other way to describe Jesus. There's never been, never will be, anyone as astonishing as Jesus. And what he has done for us has not only been miraculous, but wondrous to behold. The second name is Counselor. The name Counselor speaks of Jesus' wisdom. No one can match the perfect counsel of Jesus. When our earthly wisdom is worthless, it's not available, or can't be applied to life, there's Jesus waiting for you to ask. Waiting for you to ask. Listen, folks, there'll never be a problem that Jesus doesn't have an answer for. There'll never be a problem that Jesus doesn't have an answer for. I have a favorite picture of Jesus counseling a pastor. And every time I see it, it straightens me up.
Hope it encourages you.
It does. But it also corrects me. Number three is Mighty God. Mighty God. Isaiah settled it, and the angel confirmed it. He was Emmanuel, a name which means God with us. But it could also be translated the Deliverer. The Deliverer. Jesus, God's Almighty Son, stripped Himself of His royalty and grandeur to come to earth in human form, equipped to redeem mankind. Wow. In 1 Timothy 3:15 it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up in glory." Amen. Oh, I love that. In fact, I'm going to say it again. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory." Amen. The fourth name was Everlasting Father. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus told Philip, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and I and the Father are one." And then in Colossians 2:9, it declares, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And number five, Prince of Peace. When the angel sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men," they weren't saying that the world was going to be at peace, but that the Prince of Peace had come to earth to give His peace to mankind. Jesus didn't just have access to peace. He was peace. And therefore, He was called the Prince of Peace. And everywhere Jesus went, His presence brought overwhelming peace. Peace to troubled minds, bodies, hearts, and spirits. In John 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So how do we obtain this elusive peace? How does the Prince of Peace give us His peace? Brothers and sisters, you and I cannot have the peace of God if we are not yet at peace with God. You and I cannot have the peace of God if we are not yet at peace with God. Most of you can remember that before you accepted the Lord as your Savior, your life was void of peace. Isaiah 57, verse 20 and 21 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." Sin always, always, and forever separates men and women from Father God. Consequently, Jesus had to become a sacrifice for us, the perfect sacrifice, so that death would make him make the proper atonement for our sins. He paid the cost to cover the forgiveness that we so desperately needed. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 9. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Those few verses assure us that because of Jesus, you and I finally have the opportunity to be at peace with God. Ultimately enjoy His peace within ourselves. Isaiah 53:5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. The NIV says of that, the punishment that brought us peace. And by His stripes we are healed. Wow. Wow. Time and again, the Word of God tells us and confirms to us that we can experience peace through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14, for He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Ephesians 2:17, and He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. And then in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Now, let me make this statement again. We must be at peace with God to enjoy the peace of God. I hope you heard that. We must be at peace with God to enjoy the peace of God. Every one of us has had situations in our life that were out of our control. Maybe you're facing a situation like that right now. If so, you need Colossians 3:15. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. When trouble comes, you really don't have to fall apart and lose your mind. You can have peace while others go to pieces. Amen? You can have peace while others go to pieces. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote this, a wise man in the storm prays to God, not for safety from danger, but for the deliverance from fear. It's the storm within that endangers him, not the storm without. Let's go over to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 4. We'll start with verse 35. Are you there? Okay. Verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was, and other little boats were also with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Him and said to Him, Teacher, Do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. That particular scripture is very familiar to all of us. We find the disciples in the middle of the storm on a sea. They're probably scared, probably afraid they're going to drown. And yet there was Jesus in the back of the boat sleeping. Why was Jesus sleeping? Because 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? Amen? What's the lesson Jesus wants us to learn? What's the lesson in this story that Jesus wants us to learn? God isn't teaching us on how to speak to the wind, but how to sleep through the storm. Understand, brothers and sisters, that when we seek Jesus' help in the midst of our problems, He will either calm the storm around us or He will calm the storm within us. Amen. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is arrested and put into prison. Yet while in prison, he's chained between two guards, and we find Peter asleep on the eve of his execution. He's sleeping. What was happening with Peter? He had a complete confidence in God. Complete confidence in God. Peter found that peace that passes all understanding. Peace was ruling Peter's life. Listen to Philippians 1, verse 28 in the New Living Translation. It says, Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. Huh. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God Himself. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. In Psalm 29, verse 11, it says, The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Maybe you're still thinking, well, I'm hearing you, Pastor, but how do I get it? Number one, if we would take everything to God in prayer and be thankful in every situation, nothing could rob us of our God-given peace, folks. Nothing could rob us of our God-given peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. Number two, when you are overcome with this life, keep your focus on the Lord. Don't focus on the negative. Keep your focus on the Lord. Don't focus on the negative. Isaiah 26:3 says, You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Number three, Word of God. I love the Word of God because of the hope it brings. Listen, folks, because I have a secure hope, I can now enjoy peace. Psalm 119, 165, Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Bubba went to see his pastor, and he said, Pastor, I've got a problem. Every time I go to sleep, I think there's someone under my bed. It scares me. I think I'm going to go crazy. His pastor responded, now, Bubba, the Lord isn't the author of fear. He wants to give you peace. Tonight, when you go to bed, I want you to ask the Lord what you need to do to overcome this fear. 2 days later, the phone rings, Bubba answers, and the pastor says, Bubba, has the Lord helped you with that fear problem? Bubba said, He sure has, Pastor. And now I'm not afraid no more. Really? What did the Lord tell you to do? He told me to cut the legs off the bed so there ain't room for anyone around here but Jesus. If there's a Bubba here this morning, folks, God's got the answer and it's peace. You may have walked through those doors this morning, attacked by every imaginable fear and extreme case of anxiety, and you can't even think about peace in your life. Maybe it's your marriage, your family, your health, your finances, your job. There seems to be no end to the misery and no hope in sight. Listen to me, there's no reason for you to leave God's house suffering under that same load. Jesus, the God of peace, is in this place. And He wants to touch your troubled spirit and replace it with faith. Replace your fear with faith. What you need is a peace conference with the Prince of Peace. Jesus came to earth on that first Christmas morning to restore mankind's relationship with God. But I believe there are also all kinds of benefits tied into our salvation. One of the most significant ones is Jesus' offer of His peace in your life. The peace that passes all understanding. Wouldn't it be a shame to leave this place this morning, still carrying unrest that has been haunting you and distressing you? Please don't be hindered by Satan's plan to rob your peace. Please don't be hindered by Satan's plan to rob your peace. Jesus is the miracle-working God. He can change situations in an instant. If you're determined to walk in peace, I want to pray with you this morning. Let's walk in peace as children of the Most High God. I've said probably hundreds of times that fear and faith are opposites. Completely opposed to each other. You can't have faith if you're living in fear.
That's right.
You've been set free from fear. And you've been given peace. Jesus wants the very best for us, brothers and sisters. We can forget that He's up there and just be a mess down here. But He wants you to be everything you can be. He wants you to be the best that you can be around your loved ones. When I get worked up, Bonnie suffers. When she gets worked up, I suffer. I suffer more than she suffers.
So you say.
Yeah, she'd say opposite, but I'm telling the truth. Peace. What a gift. Came to earth to give us peace. What a gift. I love my Jesus. How can you not love a God that wants you to have peace? That little bird sitting on his nest under a waterfall. Nothing nice around it. That bird can sit there in peace because it's secure in the bush. We're secure in God. We're secure in Jesus. There's a little chorus. It goes like this. I just lost it. I lost it. Linda, how about doing the manual again? Can you do that for me? Hallelujah. I have peace, but my mind don't work all the time. Please stand. Come on. If you need prayer this morning, I want to pray for you. There may be others that want to pray for you. Don't leave here filled with anxiety. Don't leave here being less than what you can be. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Sing this with Linda, please.